Genesis 37, verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Tonight, if I name this anything, I want to talk to you about taking a hold of the promise. Taking a hold of the promise. God's given us a promise. And it's time that we realize it. Realize the power in it. Realize the inheritance we have received. And it's time we do something with it. In prayer the last couple of weeks, I didn't know what God had in store for us here tonight. Night before last, he laid it upon my heart to preach about this, and I believe if there's only one person here tonight that this is for, it'll be worth it. But we read the story, we all know the story in Genesis of Joseph, how he was sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites, and how from there on he was sold to Potiphar and became a servant, how he resisted the temptation and then was falsely accused, and after all of that he was cast into prison. But he was a dreamer. He's known all through the Bible as a dreamer. You know, I read the story, the whole story of Joseph today, and it just hit me. I said, there's not one thing in the whole story of Joseph where he was ever reprimanded. You cannot find one fault he done. Nothing he done wrong. But yet everyone was against him. He didn't have many true friends. Most everyone despised him. His brothers, his own brothers, his own family. Didn't want him around. But he was a dreamer. 17 years old, he told his brothers of a dream he had. And they done away with him. They done away with him. But Joseph, he kept a hold of that dream. He never let that first dream, he never let the first one get too far from his sight. He never let it get behind him. He always kept it in front of him like the donkey with the carrot. Something to work for. Suffered hardships and turmoil. Many things he went through that most people would have gave up and said, I don't understand. 30 years old before he ever set foot in Potiphar's house. 30 years old before he served under him. 13 years of struggle. 13 years of people turning their back on him. 13 years of misery. 13 years of grief. But he kept a hold of the promise. He kept a hold because he knew that the Lord was with him. In chapter 39, verse 2 and 21, we read, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was with him. That's all he had to worry about. That's all he had to worry about. If he could just keep a hold of his hand. Most people would have said, Joseph, Joseph, why don't you quit? Why don't you lay it all down and just throw it away? Why don't you quit going to that 5 o'clock prayer meeting? It's too hard. Quit reading them chapters every week. It's too hard, Joseph. But I can see Joseph maybe as he laughs and just starts, you know, smirking at him. He said, you see, I was 17 years old one time and I caught a vision. I got a hold of something in church tonight. We've got a hold of something. We've seen things happen. Let them call us a dreamer. Let them call us what they want. But God has something in store for us. We have an inheritance to keep. We have an inheritance. We have a promise to hold on to. And it's only through faithful servants that God's going to move. Joseph, why don't you give up? Why don't you be like one of us? Joseph, it's hard. It's hard being different. We live in a world today where if you're being different, you're called a fanatic. But no matter what they call us, Brother Head, I'll be different. No matter what they called Joseph, he didn't care. He said, I'm going to do what's right. Because he had his eye on something far away. Something they couldn't see. Something they would never lay their eyes on because they didn't want to become dedicated. He had a hold of the promise. He had a hold of the promise. This Pentecostal power is our inheritance. It's something God gave to the people called by His name. And we're His church. We're His church. We're His church. It's already ours. Jesus is our Father. And one day He died on a cross. And when I think of the word inheritance, it usually means when the eldest die, it's passed on to the lower generation. That means we've got a lot to be thankful for. When He died, it was all to us. It was all given to us. This whole power of Pentecost was laid at our hands. It was given to us because He died. And we were next in line. We've got something to be proud of, the church, tonight. We were next in line to Him. The Word Bible says in John 1 and 14, it says the Word was made flesh. That means everything that He had, every powerful thing in this Word, is ours. This Word is our inheritance. The Bible doesn't have, this is for so-and-so and this is for so-and-so. It said, unto all that believe, unto all that believe on His name, they shall receive. They shall receive. We have the authority. We've got the authority to take a hold of it. We have the authority to take a hold of it. And Joseph dreamed a dream. He dreamed a dream. I wonder tonight if there's any dreamers here. Is there any Josephs up here tonight? Somebody that's willing to say, hey, I don't care. I'm going to live for God. No matter what happens, no matter who talks about me, I'm going to live for God. I want to be a Joseph. Call me what you may. Do to me what you want. But I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on His side. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Living for God is not a bed of roses. It's not something just to have fun all the time. There's a sacrifice in it. But if we ever take our eyes off of the reward, if we ever take our eyes off the promise, it's all vanity. I love what Paul says in his last testimony. He knew what he'd done for God. He had a testimony. He said, I have fought a good fight. And I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all that love His appearing. That crown of righteousness was His promise. Something He had to look forward to. Something that He knew that one day God was going to give Him. God was going to give Him. He had something to be proud of. He had something. He had an inheritance. He didn't have nothing to worry about because He served a God that had brought Him through temptations, through toil, through fear. But He knew He would never let Him down. He knew He'd never let Him down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise God. We need to take a hold of what God has given to us. We need to take a hold of what God has given to us, church. It's not something He just flashed before our eyes just to motivate us. But it's something that is real. It's something that this world cannot take away. There's no devil in hell powerful enough to take what we have. Because it is our inheritance. It was given to us. We don't have to wait till we're of age as you do in this modern society to receive it. He said, unless we become as a child, it's all ours. It's all ours. It's all ours. We have no reason to be afraid. For God is on our side. For God is on our side. Isaiah 40, chapter 43. Bear with me. I'm going to read 7 verses here. 43. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from thee, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have made him, yea, I have formed him. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. That's something to shout about, church. That's something to shout about. Thou art mine. I'm telling you, if we're his, we don't have nothing to worry about. We don't have nothing to worry about if he's on our side. If he's on our side, we have nothing to fear. I love this passage of Scripture. Isaiah puts it so direct of how God comforts the church with his promises. It's the same then as it is now. He never changes. His word never changes. It's still the same. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I love that. I love that. Such comfort. For I am with thee. For I am with thee. Everyone that is called by my name, I have made him. We have no reason to be afraid. No reason to be afraid if he's on our side. That's our inheritance. There's no reason why we should sit back and say, well, I don't deserve it. Because God has given it to us. It's a promise. He died and we were next. We possess the power of the Word tonight. Anything we want to claim, he'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. Hallelujah. I thank God that one day he looked down upon me, a wretched sinner, and said, you can be mine. A God in glory, with all power and with all authority, looked down into a sinner with a low life and said, you can be my son. I'll claim you. You can be mine. Thou art mine. There's some people here tonight that God has called you. God's given you the opportunity. God's given you the inheritance. He's given you the promise. And you wonder where God has left you alone at. When all he's doing is holding his hand out saying, here, take it. Take it. Take it. Sure, we go through valleys, but I think sometimes when people go through a valley, they build a house down there and they think they're supposed to stay there. But God has called us out. He said, thou art mine. I have called thee. He don't intend for us to stay in the lowlands. Fear not, for I am with thee. Hallelujah. It's time we take a hold of the inheritance. It's time we take a hold of it and realize the power within it. Hallelujah. There's no reason to be afraid. There is no reason. We are his. We are his. If we could ever realize the full potential of being his, what changes we would see in our world today through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have no reason. No reason. Hallelujah. We are his. And we are chosen. We see it so clear in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. And he's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. He's called us out to be a light. But yet he's let us share it. And tonight, we need to take a hold of the promise and share the light. Be unto others what Christ is to us. Be their hope where Christ is our hope. There's people dying without God. and we neglect our duty so many times. I neglect it. So many times, we doubt if that's really God talking to us. When He's totally told us that we had no reason to fear. That we had no reason to fear. For we have a promise. We have an inheritance. And I thank God for letting me be able to share that. It's time we, the chosen people of God, take a hold of it and claim it. We hear of great revivals in the past, in the old days, the Brush Arbors. Many of us wasn't there. But God said, it's going to be greater in the latter than it was in the former. And there's no reason why. And we're experiencing something here in this church that no church, no other church, in the vast majority of churches are experiencing. Because we have realized that God's chosen all of us. But we have realized that God has chosen us. We've realized the power we have and the potential. It's time we take a hold of it. This inheritance has been through the fire. It's been through the storm. It's been through the river. It's been through everything you could imagine. But it come out on the winning side. It come out on the winning side because it had a Father. That died one day, Brother Head. He died and said, what I have, you can have. And it's ours. It's ours. There's no power in hell. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are that rock and we are that church that He is calling. It's time we stand up and say, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to be a part of it. Hallelujah. It's going to stand victorious. It's going to stand victorious. In this latter day we live in, so many things. There's so many things that discourage us. Maybe it is harder to live for God now than ever before, but we're just that more closer to the end of it. We're just that more closer to just reaching that, the very potential of that promise. They had it 2,000 years ago. Sure, they had the promise. They didn't have what we have today. They didn't see the works of God in the power that we do. They still kept hold of it. From the time that Joseph was 30 till the time he was 110, he was just wandering around. We don't read of no great things God done for him. He was just an average man living an average life. From the time he was 17 to the time he was 110, I'm sure he never lost that vision. I'm sure he never forgot that dream. I'm sure he never forgot the time his brothers threw him in the pit and sold him. I'm sure he never forgot that. I'm sure that he never forgot the time he was falsely accused. But I'm sure it rung in his mind when the Lord said, "For I am with thee." If he never told it to him again until he died, he still knew and he still believed what God was going to do for him. Tonight, there's so many things God has showed us through His power that we need to stand on. That we need to be victorious. That we need to be victorious. Isaiah 53 and 6 reads, "And who shall declare His generation?" When we really get a grip on what God is going to give to us and what He's trying to give to us, we'll be called that church. We'll be called that church. We'll be called the ones that are going to stand. They're going to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 14 and 9 reads, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I don't like being a follower. I like being a leader. I'm sure that when Christ read that, He had many people that said, "I'll follow you, Lord." But when He came to the part that said, "I will make you," I'm sure many of them turned around and walked the other way. It's fun seeing all the miracles, all the healings. It's fun being a follower. But when it comes time to get down to the nitty-grit, of being made, a bunch of people back out. There's a sacrifice in being a revival church. It's just part of being made. Follow me, and I'll make you. But if you get a hold of that promise, nothing to turn you around, no discouragement to turn you around, you won't mind being made by Him who made us in the beginning. For He's all we need. For He's all we need. Hallelujah. He's all we need, church. He's called us, and we're His. And it's time we stand up and be what we need to be. Be what this city wants us to be. Wherever we may go, wherever it may be, whoever we may see, let us be the same. If we're here or if we're far away, let us be called who we are by what people see in us. I don't want to be labeled a Pentecostal just because the way I dress and the way I look, but I want to be labeled a Pentecostal because of my actions, because of the things I do, because of the people that I talk to about God. Called and chosen. I want to be more than a follower. More than a follower. More than just a one who stands by. But I want to have more than a burden. God, give us a zeal inside of us. Something that'll drive us. Something that won't quit. Let us be made. Let us be made. Hallelujah. We're all promised it. It's unto us and to our children. For we all can receive an inheritance. We all, through Christ, can receive what we need. All. It's ours. And it's just a little weight laid in there for us to take all of it. For us to grab and take up and do what the Lord wants now. We don't have long, church. We don't have long. We don't have long. We don't have long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I've been short, and I feel like God has had greater things in store for tonight. We need to open our hearts up. Forget when it may be, who may be preaching, and just remember that God is still the same. He doesn't change, and He never will. If something goes wrong, it's not His fault. It's because we lost sight of the promise. Because we got a little further away, went a little lower in the valley. It's time we start trudging up that hill. No matter how, if you can't see the top of it, step by step, we'll make it. We'll make it. Hallelujah. We lift our hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we praise You, Lord. We praise Your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us realize our full potential, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. It may have been simple, but it was from God. He laid it upon my heart. Maybe it wasn't delivered in the best manner, but it's so simple. And it's true. We're His. We're His. He's called us. He said, "Thou art mine."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You.